Last Sunday night, we were not live. We played the Sunday morning special birthday service twice. And we conducted a shalom service at King's House 1 on Sunday night that we did not play live on 56. But we played it for the network at 7 o'clock on this past Friday night. And I'd like to get the response from my network that's watching around the world right now to us playing the Shalom service for you on Friday night, the regular 7 o'clock hour. But we're on 56 for 4 hours tonight. We will not play the service live as it occurred this morning. I did it last Sunday because birthdays only come once a year. And it would be sort of out of place to play it on a delayed basis. I mean, 75 is old enough without delaying the birthday. But we're live tonight, and there will be a service placed somewhere between 9 and 10 o'clock. But until then, we're live, and I'm taking your calls. In the first half hour, I dedicate to our congregants, whipping you wandering sheep in shape. We have exactly half the number of reservations that we need to have tonight for next Sunday in the cathedral. So I suggest that my regulars get busy for the next half hour, calling the number you'll see on the screen. Everybody else go back to the Olympics or something else and come back and check with us in 30 minutes, because this 30 minutes is for my congregants across this Los Angeles area, and for our regular listeners around the world. I want you making your reservations for Sunday, so get busy right now. Your time. Awful have to buy airtime as expensive as this to get on my congregants to make them make phone calls they should have made before now. Get on the telephone. All right, their phone's opening up now, so as I said, I have half the number of reservations for Sunday I need. A lot of you listen every night. Monday through Friday from 10 to 11, it's an opening song, teaching, and a closing song. That's it. Sunday, I expect to get your response to the teaching for the week. And a lot of you that have been receiving the teaching, calling and expressing your appreciation, when are you going to come to the cathedral? You have to make a reservation. Not a lot involved in that. Making the reservation tells me that you know it's a college-level class, you've been listening, and you're coming to learn. We don't just let anybody walk into the cathedral. You've got to make a reservation. That lets me know you're coming to be taught, not just church shopping. So get on the telephone. You know, if you were not in the cathedral this morning, you missed the best message, the one that will not replay, the one that will do you the most good if you listen to it. I came to town 29 years ago being honest, saying if you want an ordinary church, look in the Yellow Pages and go find it. If you want a neighborhood church for convenience, go find it. You want a church that takes care of your kids so you don't have to, go find it. 104 members voted me in, unanimous. They had a Christian day school. The church was operationally bankrupt. Owed $3.4 million to families within the church and the community that had borrowed money from them on an illegal scam. They had $19,000 cash. Hadn't kept books. I was elected, and my first Sunday was November. They hadn't kept books since May. Didn't find out till I got here that a balloon mortgage on the church, King's House 1, was overdue and facing foreclosure. But we had the first meeting of the parents and the students of the school. Packed King's House worn out. There must have been 1,000 people, families and members and friends, come to a school event. 104 members voted me in. And you could fire a cannon at a church service and hit more empty red seats than people. Boy, this school was really making a contribution. So I shut it down. And I announced that I'm looking for the uncommon man or woman that takes what Jesus said when he said, I'll build my church, seriously. He sets the purposes of the church, not you. I read an article in the Times newspaper last weekend. New churches in the community. The church without walls. Well, they're right. They probably got this from me. The church is a people that belong to the Lord. And the church goes to the Lord's house. But they're bragging how they go to church. They go to the park and buy a pot of chicken and fellowship with the down and outers and the people. Occasionally they will go to a church as a group, usually an Afro-American church. I consider that mockery. They better not make a reservation en masse to the cathedral. I'll give them a special message. And one big mouth leader of this, of the mega churches, criticizing the churches, our tithe with our tithe. And now that shows how well taught they are, because the last time I read, the tithe is the Lord's. Our tithe. We take our tithe and buy a pot of chicken for somebody in the park, obviously eating part of it, rather than putting it in a pot where we don't know where it goes. There's more idiocy in the name of God running loose in this town than any place on the face of this earth. You want a church that takes what God says seriously and doesn't allow you to come unless you do? Then this is the place for you. And some of you old-timers that have raised families in this church better figure out that we're going to go on without you or you're going to get in line. Now get on the phone, make your reservations. I don't want to spend the whole night with you. Now this is interesting. From Santa Ana. Hey, hi. I'm calling to get a pass for next Sunday. I'm new. The voice space said, you have a King's House number? No, what's that? A King's House is someone who recognizes the Lord is the King of your life, and you can say what that Old Testament passage says, as for me and my house, we are the Lord's. The King's House recognizes that, and you agree to listen at least once a week and to support in some way. That's all. That's a King's House. He became 61,070. And just before him from Glendora, hey, what do I do to have to become a King's House? They told him. He said, okay, I'll be coming to the cathedral just as soon as I can change my work schedule. We'll make that soon. Or report in sick. Report in sick. I'm looking around in here, and I don't want to see any more sour faces in here. You better be smiling when I look your way.
Yes, sir.
I'm throwing you out of here.
Yes, sir.
Now, the only person that can look sour is me. And you better change your expression so that it'll improve mine.
Yes, sir.
I'm not looking at the one that's guilty, but some of you old guard people need to be shook up by me. You become a problem and you're past the point of being a problem, you're supposed to be a help. To start being it. I'll get to all of you, just like I got to that long-legged guy this morning. He's lucky. I haven't got his apologies yet, and I better start getting it quickly. This is a mean business church. If you don't mean business for God, you don't belong in this church. That's why you got to make a reservation. But now I want to show you my old friend again. We played him twice last Sunday. Merle's at King's House. An old, old friend. So he came on my birthday and he gave me that guitar, which I'm not sure you understand. The Martin Guitar Company. I got a Martin guitar that my dad had made in the 1940s. But the Martin Guitar Company decided to produce a special issue for Merle. And they were only going to make 12. He got his name on the neck of one of them. And he picked the other 11. Well, he picked 10 of the most famous musicians in the world and reserved one for me. I want to talk. Sit down. You're going too far with cheering me up. I got to get the calluses back on my finger and play that guitar. That's too high a cotton. And as he gave it to me on Sunday, he says, now you got a guitar like all the big ones. Well, I'll get some calluses back on my finger and start playing it again. I haven't played the guitar in more years than I haven't played the saxophone. I used to sit here with the guitar once in a while. I remember I fired all the musicians once and went to church and just me and my guitar. Any of you old enough remember that? Yeah, a few. Just fired them all, just to prove that, not these, these are good guys. Used to have these professionals. They'd fly in from all over. Just fired them all. Got my guitar out. I was the music department. And now I haven't played the guitar since those days. Used to play it here on the festival, remember? When just some time before the Hope Street Church secret. Remember that? Well, Merle was our guest last Sunday. You can keep calling and making reservations. You ought to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. But here's Merle from the cathedral last Sunday. Let it go. You're supposed to be here to work, not enjoy yourself like that. You never know what you're going to see when you come to the cathedral. Now, you better be on time next Sunday, by the way.
Yes, sir.
You're starting to straggle in too late. The service starts at 11 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
If I can get there, you can get there. I'm driving the same freeways you're driving. And I'm as mad as you are, having cussed out at least 50 drivers before I get there. So I don't need you making me mad by coming in late. Help me out a little bit. Get there on time, or I'm going to shut the door on you before right at 11 o'clock, and you'll just have to turn around and go back and face the freeways again without the service in between. Now, be there at 11. And keep making your reservations. You're enjoying yourself too much. Play the next song he sang. This was last Sunday at the cathedral. Now, he sang that for me because he knows I like that song. I don't know any of the words of that song except, if you're going to ride my Cadillac, what are you going to give me in exchange? That's the principle I live by. Quid pro quo. You know, we were an opening act for Merle Haggard. You that were in the service. I got it on tape. We were an opening act for Merle Haggard. My dad was a good singer. I don't claim to be a singer. I just have fun singing. But Dad never got to be an opening act for Merle Haggard. Pretty good, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
You guys got a new song too, haven't you? Hold to God's unchanging hand. Let it go. No more calls. Book of Hebrews chapter 4, having talked of the great work of redemption that Christ did, not only died but ascended and is at the right hand of the Father, raised and ascended. Since we have a great high priest, 14th verse of the 4th chapter, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession or proclamations. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are. And now I would ask for you folks that are sick, read the gospel from cover to cover and tell me where there's any record of him being sick during his earthly ministry. I'm going to say that again. Read the Gospels, all four of them, from cover to cover, and tell me where there's any record of him being on a sick bed, being stricken with an ailment. They brought him to him by the thousands. And in the group, there had to be some contagious diseases, but no record of him catching it. Yet it says here, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who in every respect, katapanta, panta is a no exceptions, allness. That's what it says in the Greek. Having been tempted, kata is to carry to the ultimate, and panta in every way. And in every or similar fashion. One who in every way and in similar fashion has been tested as we are. Now, I'm talking to the people that are sick tonight. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Either this word's a lie, or he had to suffer sickness, which weakens our faith, gives us a physical condition that debilitates, runs counter to faith, and yet there's no record anywhere of him being sick. I'm going to keep saying that till it settles in. Except in the types and prophecies of the Old Testament. Which is why Paul, when he's talking in Romans chapter 3, but now as he outlines what God has done for us in Christ, now, as witnessed by the law and the prophets, there's abundant record of him bearing and being tested with sickness, but not during his earthly ministry on the cross. I've said it so many times, but I'm saying it again. Isaiah 53, the King James waters it down. Surely he hath borne our griefs, borne nasa, picked up, our griefs, hali, In every case, Hali means physical sickness. Oh, it's grievous, but the English doesn't even come close to the meaning of the word Hali. Surely he hath picked up our sickness and carried sabal in the Hebrew, carried away our pains. The King James says sorrows. The Hebrew, ka'ib, or the noun macabre. Pain associated with injury and sickness. We deemed him smitten of God, Nagi. Why did they deem him smitten of God? Because their theology said individual sickness was punishment for individual sin. If you were sick, it was punishment for your sin. And they used the word leprosy, smitten with leprosy. Stricken by God, and they deemed him a sinner, deserving of that. But surely he, for our iniquities, picked up our iniquities and our transgressions. He picked up our sins, but he picked up our sicknesses and our pain. And the chastisement, musar, which is punishment to get back that which is lost. For our shalom, King James says peace. Shalom means well-being, including health. The punishment to get our health back, which Adam had and he lost, was upon him, and with his bruises, we were healed. Are healed, Isaiah 53 says, Peter looking back after the event with his stripes, we were healed. If there's any question about him picking up sicknesses, Matthew 8:17, quoting a Septuagint version more ancient than what we have, puts the exact meaning on the words. Through two chapters there's everything from Peter's mother to lepers and people smitten with every kind of sickness came to him. Matthew says that it might be fulfilled. What Isaiah the prophet said, himself took our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. The Greek's even more precise from the Septuagint than the Hebrew. That's why the book of Hebrews can say, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who in every respect has been tested as we are. He bore our sicknesses. He knows what you feel and what I feel. When that sickness is on us, and I've been teaching about God's judgment and justice, and the word always linked with his loving kindness, Hasad, and linked with his righteousness, Tzedekah, Shapat. The judgment that he is our ruler and our judge because he purchased us with his blood, allots to us, even in an earthly court, double jeopardy is eliminated. God cannot be a judge who is just, righteous, and motivated by loving kindness, Hasad, and put my sickness and your sickness on his son and leave it on us. He not only bore him, he's the executor of his will and our attorney at his side. Therefore, let us approach Meta with Parisius, boldness, to the throne of Caritos, grace, unmerited favor, that we may receive mercy and may find grace for timely help right now. I traced that word Parisius this past week, clear through the ancient Greek use of it. Parisius was a privilege granted only to citizens of the polis, the state. If you were not a full citizen, you didn't have paresis. You couldn't speak freely and openly. It was a privilege granted to citizens of the polis. It carries into the New Testament. It is the open candor and honest communication between family and between friends. None of the fal-de-rol. I come to God tonight, and you come to God tonight, as citizens of His kingdom, members of His family, members of His body, being welcomed to approach Him with openness and candor, praising Him, surely asking for help, and reminding Him, this issue is between He and His Son. His Son gave His life and did two things, picked up our sins, picked up our sicknesses. The Father raised Him from the dead, accepted the sacrifice, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I've been teaching all week, God appreciates honesty. We come to Him with openness of heart, Parisius. We come with boldness that we have a special privileged relationship. We're not dealing with an unjust judge. We come boldly to the throne of grace. And as we go to this table tonight, I want you to boldly remind God, as I will, there's two elements here. When Jesus took the cup and took the bread and said, remember me till I come back again, and fulfilled the meaning of the Passover. Two things happened the night of the Passover. They put blood on the door that covered their sins and escaped death. But they ate the roasted lamb behind the closed doors under orders from God through Moses, eat the roasted lamb for strength. And God healed every one of them that night. Because the book of Psalms says He brought them forth, and there wasn't a feeble one in their midst. Always been two elements. That's why there's bread as well as wine. If sin's the only issue, all you need is the cup. But He took the bread and broke it and said, this is My body which is broken for you. That's where He was tempted as we are. He knows your weakness. He knows your sickness. He cried out on that cross to the Father, why hast Thou forsaken Me? He had no way of really knowing. He anticipated cerebrally, but gnosis, knowledge of experience. He had never known sickness. The Isaiah passage says He was made, in that atoning act, He was made to be acquainted with sickness. He bore my sickness and He bore yours, and let's come boldly and say, with Your stripes, I was healed. I'm not worthy, but I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb.